house of God. Let's see if we can get this squared away here. Certainly good to have Brother Daniel with us. I knew he was coming, I just didn't know when. It's always good to see you, Brother Daniel. See your smiling face. Praise the Lord. All right, let's see if we can get this going. Okay. All right. I guess that's not going to work. Let's try it this way. See that? Okay. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity that you've given us to be in the house of God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Father, to look at some of these things, Father, that you've placed in your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would just anoint our lips, forgive us for our sins, Lord Jesus. And Lord, may you just have your way here this morning. Help us, Lord, to receive something from you. We ask these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I just want to talk this morning a little bit about Christ's preeminence. I want to title it, A Prisoner to Christ's Preeminence. Amen. I've just been thinking a lot about the preeminence of God and about how we as Christians, is our duty to give Christ, amen, our full preeminence in all of our lives. And so we'll touch upon in just a moment about what that means, and we can just go from there. So in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, it says this, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, and this, of course, is talking about Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Amen. And he is before all things. So in other words, it's hard to fathom that, because we're always thinking in the mindset of something's born and then something dies. Something's born, something dies, something born. And to think that something has always been there, eternal, never had a beginning, never had an end, that almost rattles the mind. You can't fathom that. You can't think that far. But that is our limitations that God placed us so we can give him the preeminence in our lives. Amen. Because we can't think that far, but he can. Amen. Praise God. And he is before all things, and by all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And this is what it says in the New Living Translation. I like the way it says it there. It says, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all, who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Right. And I just want you to think about that, and I want you to ask yourself, is he first in everything in your life? Is he first in, because he's first in everything, right? But is he first in everything in your life? Because if he's the head of the body, and if the body is connected to the head, wherever the head moves, that's where the body should go to, right? My head doesn't move this way, and my body stays right over here. My body tends to want to move where my head goes, right? So that's exactly where wherever he goes, I will follow, amen? Praise the Lord. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So that's the end of the scripture there. Now, this is what the word preeminence means, and I apologize for the slides not being in nice order, you know. Brother Bob does it in such a better way. But preeminence refers to the state of being superior to or having precedence over others, holding the highest rank or importance or priority in a particular context. It describes something or someone that stands above all others in authority, significance, or influence. And so these are some of the aspects of what preeminence includes. Superiority, having qualities, abilities, or characteristics that exceed those of others in the same category. Think for example, your boss at work. He has the preeminence over certain aspects of your position there, right? You go to him for certain aspects now, and then he might have a boss over him, and that boss has the preeminence over him and over you as well, right? So that's what preeminence means, amen? Being given first place or highest consideration in decisions, attention, or resources. Amen. I believe Jesus Christ, he deserves first place. Amen. He and we'll look at it here in just a moment, but he gave it all. He gave the Father the preeminence in his life. Right? He said, I can do nothing unless the Father shows me first. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to step into my own opinions. I'm not going to do. I might think of something in a certain way, but amen. I'm bound by the Word, and if it's not in the Word, amen, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to proceed. And so, if the head could have done that, him being the head, how much more the body, amen, should do the exact same thing, because the body is connected to the head. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. What did we just read? He is the creator of heavens and earth, everything. Amen. Oh, that's just God. Amen. But he is God, right? And God condescended down, amen, into your form. He gave up all the glory of heaven. He gave up at the splendor of heaven, everything that he didn't have to do it, but he did. Amen. And he gave up himself. He could have had a wife. He could have had children. He could have enjoyed a good job, or, you know, like you and I could. But he gave all the preeminence to the Word or to the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Authority, this is another thing with the word, definition of the word preeminence. Authority, possessing recognized power or influence that others defer to. Distinction, being clearly set apart from others due to excellence or importance. Amen. And I believe that Jesus Christ gives that distinction, amen, to his fellow believers. Amen. That's the reason why we as Christians, amen, we act differently, we dress differently, we talk differently, amen. We live differently. Right? Because there has to be a distinction. There has to be a preeminence, amen, to God, amen, in everything that we do. He's the primacy, holding first place or the leading position in a hierarchy or order. Amen. So we know that these are the qualities of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything that we just read, he fulfilled in the Word of God. Amen. He fulfilled in his life when he came here as an experienced human flesh. Amen. Human beings just like you and I. Amen. And that's the reason why he can say that he can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Right. Now, we always think of the word infirmity as a sickness, but it's not necessarily just a sickness. Amen. He can be touched by the feeling of your frailty. Of how weak you are, of the things that you go through, the thoughts that run across your mind, amen. When at different moments of the day, amen. When you're supposed to be going down to pray, and then you start thinking about the laundry, Just didn't think about it any other time, but it was just when you pray, right? Then think about, you know, that part that you got to buy an AutoZone for the car, and at any moment, amen, but at that moment, you see, Jesus probably had mind battles as well.
Right.
We know that he did, because he didn't want to go and die, amen. As a human, he didn't want to, amen, but he said, Father, not my will, but thine will be done. Why? Because you take the preeminence, Lord. I want you to have the preeminence. Amen. So he gave up all the splendor of glory in order to have that human experience with you and me. Amen. That's why he can be the head. That's why he is the head. Because the head, my head, is connected to my body. It's a human head. It's not a horse head. It's not an animal's head, amen, on a human body, amen. It's the same quality, the same thing, right? It's a human brain, I hope so. I think my wife would think that. So in Colossians 1, we just read 15 to 20, he obtained all these aspects of preeminence by growing into them, all right? I want you to understand that Jesus Christ, though he was all God, but yet he was all human. Amen? And the Bible says in Luke that he had to grow in wisdom and in maturity as well. So he didn't know all things when he came here on earth.
That's right.
All right? And in Revelations, it says that in Revelation 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. He didn't know it at one point. The human, I'm speaking about the human aspect of Jesus. He didn't know all things. He had to come and grow and learn. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but maybe we could just let the prophet tell you about it. Because look what Hebrews 7, I know this is kind of small, but I really apologize. I blow it up here a little bit. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things, what? Oh, it doesn't say all the blessings that he received. Every good day that he had. You know, every good restaurant he was able to eat at, and money rolling in the bank, and no. He said, though he were a son, he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Amen. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Amen. That's you and I. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, Jesus, he limited himself to the human experience. Though he were God, though he was God. Amen. As God, Jesus did not need to learn anything, especially obedience. Yet at his incarnation, Jesus limited himself to the human experience. I like this. He chose the weak position of having to learn and grow. Amen. And we read that in Luke 2:52. Amen. Just like you and I. Why? Because he's the head. Right? And the head experiences what the body experiences. Amen. The body experiences what the head experiences, right? Every pain that your body goes through, right? Your head or your brain is given signals for that,
right?
There's a connection there, and that's why that there cannot be a disconnect between the body of Christ and the head of Christ, right? Because he is the head. So Jesus did not know all things, amen. He grew in knowledge and wisdom. And say, wow, he did not know all things. No, he did not know all things. As human, as in his human experience, he did not know all things. That's why he said, I can do nothing unless my Father shows me first. That's what differentiates him in the aspect of him being human, but yet being God at the same time. We know the fullness of God dwelleth in him, right? He was all God, and Isaiah prophesied that it was going to be God with us, amen? Because there was no one else that could save us but the blood of God, amen? I'm saved by the blood of God, amen? I'm not saved by just the prophet's blood, amen, or some man's blood, amen? We are kept saved, amen, by that blood, praise the Lord Jesus. And it's got to be the blood of God, amen, or else, amen, we're still living in our sins. If it's not God's blood, amen, that came in, amen, praise the Lord. If it wasn't his sacrifice, amen, then we are still living in our sins. But I thank God that it's a finished work. Amen. The Brother Branham says in the revelation of Jesus Christ, he says the following. Let's see if we can blow it up here just a little bit. He said, Now I said that this book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus and what he is doing in the churches for those seven ages. It is a revelation because the disciples themselves didn't know these recorded truths. All right? It had not been previously revealed to them. You remember that they came to Jesus in the book of Acts and asked him, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" See, because the disciples, they were looking for a physical kingdom, right? Where Jesus didn't come to establish a physical kingdom. Jesus doesn't care about a physical kingdom because that's easy for him to obtain. He's more concerned about your kingdom because that's harder. That's a little tougher. It's not tough for him. It's just it's tougher because we don't want to give him the preeminence. The whole earth is his, yes. And they obey him at his command. The animals, mountains, the trees, everything, they're subject to him. We are the hardheads. And he's always having to deal with us, but yet that is the reason why his mercy and grace is never, I'm so glad his mercy and grace always abounds. Praise the Lord. We are hardheaded. We don't learn, we want to do it our way. And we're always seeking something physical. You know? That's why it's so important, amen, in the hour that we're living in, do not get caught up with physical kingdoms. These kingdoms of the earth will pass away. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away. But my word, amen, which is God, will not pass away. And he said, it is not for you, this is what Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Those men were still thinking of Jesus having an earthly kingdom, but it was a spiritual kingdom that he was going to build. This is Brother Branham still speaking. He said, even he, watch what it says, even he could not tell them about his place in it, for the Father had not revealed it unto him. All right? So Jesus didn't know until the Father revealed it to him to him first. Now, when he died and resurrected, amen, and he said all heaven and earth, all everything in heaven and earth, amen, belongs to me, amen. He knew all things. Praise the Lord. But he had to conquer first. Amen. He had to do his duty. Praise the Lord. He says, His place in it for the Father had not revealed it unto him. But now, after his death and resurrection, and at this particular time, in his mediatorial ministry, he is able to set forth here in this revelation of himself to John what his glory and presence in the church would mean and do. Amen. Let me go a little. Amen. The Father was what took preeminence in Jesus' life. Amen. He says, I can do nothing on my own in John 5:30. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Let's just skip a few of these here for the sake of time. Amen. So if the head had to give the preeminence to the intelligence, Amen. So does the body. Right?
Amen.
We know Jesus is the head. But as him being here on earth, amen, he had to give preeminence to the intelligence, which was the Father, right? Which was the brain, right? Because I have a head, right? But we have a brain that controls the head, right? So it wasn't just about the head, amen, but it was about the intelligence working through the head. And that intelligence, amen, that head, amen, connected to the body. So it's all one unit, right? Praise the Lord Jesus. Colossians 1:18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Amen. He wants the preeminence in all things in your life. Amen. He has the preeminence in all things, right? We know that he's the God of heaven and earth. Amen. But does he have the preeminence in your life? Have you given him all the preeminence? Maybe there's some doors, amen, that you still haven't opened up to him yet, right? He wants everything. Not because he wants to enslave you, or because he wants, amen, he wants, amen, so that you don't be enslaved by nothing else. And when he has full control, that there's nothing else that can enslave you, amen, praise God. This is in just a moment, we'll look here at Paul. Amen. So while Jesus was in flesh on earth, the intelligence, the brain, the Father took the preeminence. Jesus, the head, submitted himself to the intelligence, and the body, which is us, the church, the bride, submits to the head intelligence, right? I have this little diagram here. This is the body. Amen. The Father, the intelligence, the brain, while Jesus was here on earth, amen, him being the head, but could not come to being the head until he first did his mediatorial work, right? As dying and resurrecting and paying for our sins, amen? That's when he became, he said, I came from the Father and I go back to the Father,
right?
It was the Father the whole time, right? Praise the Lord Jesus. And then the church, the body, the church bride submits to the head, or the intelligence, right? Kind of interesting that it's where the neck is, right? From the neck down, that's the bride, that's the church, right? You know, sometimes they say a man says, "I'm the head of the house," and then the woman says, "But I'm the neck that moves the head." You can't do without either one. All right? And us brothers say, nobody said it. You know better. All right, let's look at this here for just a moment. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, in Ephesians 3:1, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles," he says this. In Ephesians 4:1, he says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." You know, in some places he called himself an apostle. In some places he called the servant of Jesus Christ, he called himself. But in other places he called himself, "I therefore, the prisoner." Now, a prisoner, amen, he has given himself wholly to the system, right? He has no, a prisoner, when you think of a prisoner, he has no rights of his own,
right?
He has nothing of his own. He's completely stripped away of all his rights in order to only do what is given him to do, what is told to him to do. In Philemon 1:1, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon. In Philemon 1:9, "Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus." Now, we know that Paul, he called himself that prisoner of Christ, and this was both real and spiritual for Paul. We know that he was in prisons all the time. But what was causing him to go to prisons, amen, was for the love of Christ. He had given God the preeminence already. And let me tell you, when you give God the preeminence, amen, you're going to have trials. You're going to be persecuted. Not everyone's going to like you. Right? And certainly the devil is going to be after you. And this was the case with Paul. And there's a theme in the Bible, amen, that before you people gave the preeminence to God, they had to be knocked off their high horse first. Just like Paul did. Paul was full too much of himself. He had to be stripped away. Same thing with Joseph. Same thing with Moses. And Brother Branham talks about this in that message, A Prisoner. They had to be stripped away of everything that they were in order to fully give God the preeminence. Amen? Right. Praise the Lord. Paul was literally in Roman prisons all the time. And this is kind of something, the way Paul describes in some verses of the way he was under house arrest. And the way house arrest would work is they would have to, the prisoner, especially if they were citizens of Rome, they were given a little better treatment. But the way that it would work is that they would have to rent their own place to be a prisoner in. They were not given a place by Rome. They'd had to choose a place, and I'm sure there was some stipulations there. But at the same time, Paul always had to have a Roman guard tied to him all the time. So his left hand or his right hand was always chained up to a Roman soldier for eight-hour shifts, 4 to 8-hour shifts. And that's why Paul talks about, I'm a prisoner of Christ, because he took what he was going through and he spiritualized it. He was going through something bad, but yet he used it, amen, for the glory of God. Because even though he was in prison, or even though he was tied up to a Roman soldier constantly watching him all the time, he could still write letters. He could still have visitors. He was able to still testify. That's why he wrote all these letters of these books that we read. He wrote Philemon and all these different books. And so the Roman soldier, everything that Paul did, everything that Paul spoke, everything that the Roman soldier was there listening the whole time. Every soldier, and then in one scripture, he says, I greet you, I'm just kind of paraphrasing. He says, the house of Cornelius, or the house of Caesar, sends greetings to you as well. In other words, they were talking amongst themselves about what Paul believed, about his writings and about everything. So you might be in a bad condition. You might feel like you're in a spiritual, a trial. Amen. But look at the bright side. look, what is it that God is doing? Amen. It might be your Roman soldier tied to you right there. Amen. But that, amen. We don't know what God is doing. God probably tied certain Roman soldiers to Paul so that they could get converted. Right? Right? And so that Roman soldier, wherever, Paul didn't have any privacy at all. And he knew that. Therefore, he took advantage of the situation. Well, if I'm not going to have any privacy, I'm not going to do it. Wherever I go, he goes. Whatever I read, he reads. Whatever I write, he's looking at. Well, then I'm just going to just be the best witness that I can. Amen. And that's what Paul did. Amen? I wonder if we can think about that. If we can give God the preeminence in that way. Lord, I may not have the control of everything in my life, but whatever I can do, I'm just going to make the best of it. Amen. Make the best of the situation that I'm in. And Lord, you take the preeminence in my life. Amen. Can you imagine just being tied and look at that Roman soldier just there looking at what Paul, and I'm sure, like, how can this man write the things that he's writing? How can this man talk the way he's talking and yet be under prison, under chains? He said that's why he said in some places, don't be ashamed of my chains. Because he was proud of his chains. Amen. Sometimes we get caught up in chains of circumstances in this life, and we want people to feel bad for our chains, but you are the one who got yourself into that.
Right.
And then you want somebody to get you out. Amen?
Right.
You have a father that can help you out, amen, but he wants to, amen, let you know, amen, that you've got something to do in order to get yourself out.
Right. Amen.
Go repent.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise God. Go do what you need to do first, then I can help you out of these chains.
Right.
Praise the Lord. But Paul, amen, he was in these chains because for doing good. For doing good. He also felt completely given over to Jesus. Amen. So I'm just going to fast forward still here for the sake of time. Ask yourself, amen, have I truly given my life to Jesus? Am I a prisoner of Christ? Amen. This is a personal question for everyone. Amen. Because this is the hour that we're living in. Amen. We need to make sure that we've given him all the preeminence in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's have the musicians come. Amen. We appreciate the attention.